Post-Brexit cross-border trade, UK nationals' residency rights and Euro 2020. These were the topics discussed by Wendy Morton, UK Minister for European Neighbourhood and the Americas at the Foreign, Commonwealth and Development Office, when she talked to the Bulletin during her recent virtual visit to Belgium.
Yeah, well, thank you, Sarah. I'm absolutely delighted. So I am on a virtual visit to Brussels, to Belgium, and I've had really excellent exchanges with Belgian government officials and with the Flemish government, because there are lots of areas where we have shared interests, be that on climate change. So I've had conversations about the importance of COP26, but also on trade and on cultural links. But I was also really keen to hear about and more about UK nationals who are living in Belgium. And last night I participated in an outreach event that was organised for UK nationals living in Belgium. And from my perspective, it was really interesting and helpful to hear sort of firsthand from those who are affected directly.
Yeah, that's right. On citizens' rights, as we know, UK nationals in Belgium have until the end of this year to exchange their current residency cards for the new electronic M card. There were delays at the beginning of the year, but it's now advancing. Do you have any information on how it is progressing in Belgium?
Okay, so through the conversations that I've had, I know that, look, there were a few issues, for example, with the manufacturing of the M card. But my understanding from what I see and hear is that the system is very much and has been in full swing since April. The other thing that has struck me is that we have an incredibly collaborative relationship with the Immigration Office. And they've been very receptive to us sharing issues that have been flagged to us with them directly. I think that's really important, and it's really, really welcome, because we know that nearly 1,600 citizens have received the M card, but this doesn't actually reflect the number of UK nationals who have submitted their application at their local municipality, which we know is to be significantly higher. So what we're doing is we're asking the Belgian authorities to provide more detailed statistics so that we can get a bigger picture, a global picture, if you like, of how the system is working. We're not aware of any rejections. And actually, given the simple process to obtain a new resident status, if I'm honest, we don't expect any.
Right. Yeah, because sometimes the issues have been, haven't they, about individual communes asking, for example, for people to hand in their e-cards temporarily. And a lot of British nationals have been informing themselves before they go into the commune so that they know their own rights before going in. One thing that obviously is concerning, that we see that deadlines are looming in neighbouring countries in particular, say France and Luxembourg, for UK residents to regularise their residency. Is the UK preparing further awareness-raising campaigns, to try and make sure that everybody does know and does regularise their status?
Sure, and this is a really important question, Sarah, so thank you for raising it, because we have been running an extensive comms campaign using social media, but also placing articles in popular English speaking media in Belgium, and also radio adverts as well. But our embassy team, I have to say, are doing a great job in terms of diversifying our messaging. They launched a monthly email newsletter in January, and my colleagues will explain how you can sign up to that if you haven't done so already. And in addition to that, our embassy in Brussels is printing booklets with key actions that are distributed amongst organisations that are engaging with some of those harder to reach audiences that may not be online, which I think is very important here as well. And then for late applications, we're asking EU governments to show as much flexibility as possible for late applicants. but also to publish a clear list of acceptable grounds for late applications, just as the Home Office has done here in the UK. And so I think that's an important piece of work that we are doing. Clarity of communication is important here.
Yes, because I mean, we know in Belgium that we have a later deadline, but that's why I think people will be watching quite closely what happens in, for example, France, because the concern is that it's often long-term residents actually in the country that risk falling through the net. I presume there'll be ongoing discussion with each member state to, as you say, to try and show as much flexibility as possible.
I think the point about residents or nationals who've lived for a long time in any country is an important one that you raise. I mean, an issue that was flagged to us by many UK nationals was the link between the new M card and nationality. And as our ambassador wrote to the Justice Minister, as did Brits in Belgium groups, and we were pleased to hear that the Belgian Council of Ministers recently approved the draft, the proposed draft Royal Decree amendment to include the M card as proof of lawful residence, for the purposes of applying for Belgian nationality. So I think that's important. I mean, passport stamping has been another issue that has been a key focus of ours, as you would probably expect. But again, only a few cases were flagged to us in Belgium. I think it's fair to say the issue is perhaps more prevalent in other countries, but certainly in terms of Belgium, very, very few cases. But you know, I think it's important to highlight that if you're a resident in Belgium and your passport was stamped, this has no impact on your rights in Belgium. And you know, I think also when you travel in the future, showing proof of your residency with a residence card, for example, to a border card will be sufficient evidence.
Just finally on citizens' rights, what are the other key issues that expats are raising when they're in communication with various embassies as well as Belgium?
Well, as I say, you know, one of the issues is the one of passport stamping, which I've just been explaining, and so there are very, very few examples of that. I think for me the most important thing is around communications here and encouraging citizens to take the necessary steps and being aware that things are perhaps a little different to what they used to be, but making sure that they are prepared.
As we know that another major issue is trade, and there was some disruption at the beginning of the year with a late withdrawal agreement at the end of 2020. And I wanted to ask about, you know, ongoing delays and difficulties concerning imports and exports. And I wanted to raise the case of the British grocer Stone Manor, that they've been, you know, suffering continual delays and additional paperwork and costs actually this year. So can you, you know, comment on that?
Well, I think the first thing when it comes to trade more broadly, I think that, you know, many envisaged a lot of chaos at the start of the year, and I'm really pleased to say that did not materialise. You know, and we worked really closely with Belgian officials, but also with industry federations as well and businesses, to ensure that they were prepared as possible for the new procedures, which again I think the communications here is always important. But to your specific case about the local grocer's shop, well, look, of course the key thing here is we want to make sure that people in Belgium can still enjoy their favourite British products, whatever they may be, in Belgium. And you know, since the beginning of January, the UK has been outside of the EU's customs union and the EU's single market. You know, and as you know, wherever you have a major change there will be inevitably a few bumps along the way to and challenges to overcome. But you know, from the UK government perspective, we really have laid the groundwork to maintain the disruption there. So as I say, we want to make sure that either Belgian citizens or British citizens who are in Belgium can enjoy their favourite British products if they want to.
Yes, because it seems like there's been more of an issue with goods leaving the UK coming into the EU than the other way around, and that's where they've been running into problems. I mean, with this sort of, you know, this process of checks, that is that going to be ongoing for some time?
And is the key thing here is about making sure that trade is flowing and goods are flowing, and that is about working together with the Belgian authorities to make that happen.
On the other side, what do you sort of see as the main opportunities now for trade between UK and Belgium?
Yeah, well, just on a final point then, Sarah, I've had a range of meetings over the last few the last couple of days on my virtual visit, and you know, I have really seen the depth of cooperation and the opportunities that that are there for the UK and Belgium to strengthen and develop our bilateral relationship, be that on a business to business level or on a people to people level.
Final question was, obviously with greater light here in Belgium, it was announced in the Queen's speech that long-term expats will get the right to vote in UK elections. Do you know, can you give us any information on the timeline for restoring the vote to people who have lived overseas for more than 15 years?
Sure. So the Queen's speech was on the 11th of May 2021. And that set out what the government's intentions are for the next session of Parliament. And you're right, it includes a commitment to introduce legislation to deliver these changes via an upcoming elections bill. You know, the 15-year limit on the voting rights of British expats is actually somewhat arbitrary and anachronistic in what we see as a very increasingly global and connected world, and so I think I was really pleased to see this in the Queen's speech. You know, many British citizens overseas still retain their really strong links with the UK. So what we are intending to do is to deliver Votes for Life and extend the franchise for UK parliamentary general elections to all British citizens living overseas who have previously registered or previously resident in the UK. And then in addition to that, we will facilitate participation by making it easier for overseas electors to remain on the register with an absent vote arrangement in place.
There have been questions about would it be the last address in the UK, their former constituency? Obviously, there's been
We've clearly set out an intention to legislate for this. So I think let's wait and see when we get the detail of the legislation as it starts its journey through Parliament. And then actually people will be able to even look at that legislation and follow its passage till it becomes on the statute book.
Is there anything, any message you have to British nationals here in Belgium who have obviously lived the last few years with a great deal of concern and worry? There may be some reassurance now that the MCARD process is well there, but you know, is there anything you'd like to say to them?
I think I would underline the importance of making sure that you have taken the necessary steps that you need to. If you want to, if you're a UK national living in Belgium, before the end of the transition period, you must apply for your new MCARD by the 31st of December 2021. There's lots of communications there available via perhaps Twitter, via the embassy's monthly newsletter. So there's a wealth of information there. So if it is something that you are intending to do, I would say please get on and do it. And if you have friends or family members who are all in the same situation as you, you know, make sure that they are aware of what they want to do if they want to make that application. I think that is my strongest message. But of course, I just want to end, Sarah, with a non-citizen's rights point, but one that I'm sure is of interest to some of your listeners, and something that I think unites many of us, which is football. And obviously, it's the Euro 2020 tournament, and it would be wrong of me if I didn't wish the Belgian national team every success. Of course, I will be supporting my home nation, but there's nothing like a game of football to bring us all together.
Absolutely, and that's one advantage of having dual nationality. Yeah. Thank you very much, Minister.
Thank you, Sarah.